living in turbulent times, and I'll actually start with how do we do missions in turbulent times? Because suddenly you can't travel like we used to. Our coming here was a miracle, in a sense, because we had to change our flights from a Middle Eastern airline, which was a codeshare partner with American Airlines, just to give an idea of a turbulent time. We had 6 postponements of our flight, and we began to despair. We were actually in India at my wife's project in Bangalore, India. We had left Australia and gotten to India 2 days before they started giving you 2 weeks quarantine. So we escaped the quarantine there. But flight was delayed 6 times, so we had to pay an extra $500 to transfer from a Middle Eastern airline to British Airways. And we got both our boarding passes. Give you an idea how much a rare missionary who was able to come to the States. We got both our boarding passes, Bangalore to London Heathrow, London Heathrow to JFK. And we flew the 10-hour flight. It's 10 hours to London, 7 hours to New York, approximately. Flew the 10 hours with both the boarding passes first. And then we went through the transit lounge, got to the gate in London Heathrow for the flight from London to New York. And when we were boarding, they said, my wife can't board. Because I'm a citizen, my wife's not. She's a permanent resident of Australia and a 10-year multiple entry visa for the U.S. And she comes to me every year. They said, no, she can't. She's not a citizen or a green card holder, so she can't come. So I said, we do this every year. She's got a 10-year multiple entry visa, and she's my wife. And he put me on to a supervisor who called the head office. Now, we are in London, which is the capital city of England, which is the headquarters of British Airways. And the lady's on to whoever is in the headquarters, and she says, well, this is his plane. And he's a citizen, and he says, this is his wife. She's got the multiple entry visa. But then she says to me what the head office told her. Does he have a wedding certificate? And within 15 seconds, I showed it to him. I came prepared with all sorts of photocopies, postponements. And then she said, well, he's a citizen, and he's showing me the wedding certificate. Okay, she can hold it. Imagine that. So you can appreciate why many missionaries are not able to be here, and we don't take the blessing that we've been able to make it. So let's first deal with the missions aspect, missions in turbulent times. One thing that has caused our ministry, because we have a Bible college, if you stay for this, I'm not sure if you stay for this session, if you stay for Maine, we have a PowerPoint, you will see we have a Bible college and Christian school. In, if you're looking at the work in Fiji Islands, Bible college in Jakarta, Indonesia, and a project for children from the slums, which my wife runs in Bangalore, India, which is where we came from. We also pioneered a Bible college and Christian school in North India. So, our vision from the onset, which is 31 years ago, was to raise up and to train, teach, equip local leaders in their countries. I call them national leaders. And because of that, our vision, our missions work has hardly been hampered at all. Because they can now continue whether we're there or not. In fact, with bases in Fiji, Indonesia, and India, you can't be in all those places at the same time. So any way we were using, whether in the old days we used to use Skype, now we use Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp and emails, of course. And so any way we've been doing that with our leaders, it's just that now it's a longer period of time before we will get to see them in person until those countries open up to international commercial flights. So that's a huge strategy to raise up national leaders. Now I'm going to share some thoughts about the leaders in their own countries, which, you know, this is a developed country, we call them developing countries. We used to say first world and third world, which then became politically incorrect, you know what I'm saying. So a good percentage of the local national leaders are well educated. And they are well able or capable of doing the work of the ministry. But we now need to be aware of not continuing on with what in the past used to be a paternalistic attitude, which also can oftentimes be seen as somewhat patronizing. We need to come alongside. How may I serve you? How can I help? But there are some areas that training is needed. Believe me, I'm going to point that out. So what might have been the old model, we need to now learn to come alongside them, to teach, train, equip, and release them. So basically, from a distance, I'm just in touch. And they receive counsel. How do we do this? How do we face this situation? So some cautions, though. If many Western churches, I know this may be live, but I'm just going to say, It's all factual and honest. Many Western churches, oftentimes, they just like somebody in a developing country and what they're doing. They're excited about it, and they adopt them. But there can be major cultural differences. See, we have certain expectations. If we send someone out from here to Peru, but we know that person. We know that their yes is yes and their no is no. I'm just starting to break a little ground here. So there are major cultural differences, such as keeping their word, keeping time. We believe in keeping time here. You know, for example, PAL is Philippine Airlines. It's the national airline for the Philippines. Do you know what the locals call it? PAL, plane always late. That's in their national carrier. In the Fiji Islands, just like you can buy souvenir t-shirts here to wear, they have one you can buy. I'm on Fiji time, which is a national joke. I went one time for a wedding in the Fiji Islands. And I felt the most stupid person. 3 hours later, the wedding started. At least you thought they'd have given me the food first. Even that I had to wait for. So, we have certain expectations. We don't need to train someone who's sent from here. We believe they will keep their word. We believe they will keep time. We trust they will handle finances with a certain degree of integrity. I'll give you a copy of the notes in here. It doesn't mean you switch off. We trust they'll handle the finances with a certain degree of integrity. We expect certain levels of responsibility from someone we send out here. We have to beware in those cultures of male dominance. Whenever I meet with a local national leader, I try to make sure his wife is present. Or else they just push to the side. So, and then the question of integrity or lack thereof. I'll give you a simple example. My friend Brian Bart just walked in with his wife, Ruthann. Well, Brian and I used to teach at the erstwhile Living Word Academy, which is now Lancaster County Christian School. He's still the music teacher. He's become an icon there. It's been 31 years since I left. But before I came here, I was teaching in a British school in India. Don't mistake me. English is my mother tongue, and I teach Shakespeare. But over there, the teachers did not even have a staple or a Scotch tape dispenser on their desk. The economy is quite different. When I formulated a test, I had to go to the office, have a cyclostyle. Does anyone remember those days? Cyclostyle machines? Yeah! We're in a different world now. And then they would hand me the stapler. I had to stand in the office and staple them all and hand the stapler back. I came to America, the Living Word Academy, and my first time in, I'm sitting at my desk, and the first first day it was that the principal, who's now with Jesus in Dodge, he walked by and said, "Is everything okay?" I said, "Yeah, things are fine. You got what you need?" I said, "Well, I don't have a statement." Now, first of all, that's a big step up for me, you see, in relative terms. He said, "Oh, no problem. We'll see you again." And the kids have caught the school bus that afternoon. Ken walks himself with a stapler in hand, comes to my room and says, "Here's the stapler." There you almost kowtow to your boss. And here my boss brought it to me, and he kept his word. Can you see the huge cultural difference? And we just adopt someone because they can come here and preach fine. It doesn't mean they're not saved and they don't have the anointing. But when it comes to actually handling, when I first came, I was in New Jersey. There was a place there called Jersey Jerry where you picked up different... It was an honor system to pick up bags of apples and just put your money in the chute. I'm thinking, dude, if this was in a developing country, the apples would disappear and the money would disappear from the chute too. So I'm not trying to knock anyone. I'm just saying we can be just so hunky-dory over someone and adopt them and you have no clue what's going on when they go back there. So I said, we need to raise up, teach, train, mentor national leaders. But someone said to me, "I don't understand what you mean. I've written this in my first book." I said, "We need to Americanize them." By that I don't mean that they have to wear the same kind of outfit that you and I wear, but the issues of integrity, keeping your word. Even till today, our home church, the Worship Center, they say of all the missionaries we help, we connect with, you are one of the first, no matter where you are on earth, to respond. The concept of time is alien to them. We need to Americanize them in that sense. Get the positive aspects of the culture, which are literally, which actually come from a foundation of Christianity. That's what it is. So, integrity or the lack thereof, we need to screen them for that. Don't just get fooled by good, powerful preaching. And that can be real. But we need to work on those issues. If we don't, sadly, tragically, it leads to huge disappointment in our young people. Then we find out too late. 20 years we've been supporting this missionary, and all along we had no clue what they were doing up there. You know, give you another practical example. Because whether it's Indonesia, Fiji, India, where we have a three-based operation, we have a base in Australia, but that's as civil as here. Do you want to know why? It has a Christian foundation. I know some people watching may not be happy about that, but it's true. The majority influx of migrants are not to non-Christian nations. They are from non-Christian nations to Christian nations. True or false? It's totally politically incorrect, but 100%. Example. I come here to a four-way stop sign. And no cars. Why am I stopping? But we do. We honor the law. We should. If that was in a developing country, goodbye. It wouldn't mean a thing. In fact, there you can have a red light and they'll jump at half a chance. They jostle, squeeze, and weasel and move, work their way in and out. So I literally have to put on a different mindset when I drive in those countries. Or they'll jostle me totally out of it. Just a simple example. The bribery is rampant in those countries. Rampant. You say, and how do you manage? I gave my wife, by the way, my wife Anne is here. May I introduce her? Baby, just stand up for a second. Yeah, this is my wife Anne, my lovely wife Anne. Anne with an E is an Anne of Green Gables. I was sharing with her, you know, I'm not sure if I've seen much of it in the States, like stormwater drains, because they're usually underground or covered. But in those cultures, they're open. Yeah, but runoff from the rain, you know. Like we've got flash flooding and stuff. I lived here for 7 years. After the spring, the thawing takes place. But stormwater drains, and when I was a child, we could kind of play around the stormwater drains. It was stormwater, rain, runoff, rain. Now, unscrupulous builders have connected their switchbacks. We don't have to say much more. Now imagine you're trying to swim in that storm water. In that setting, even through your pores, you're infected with, you know, I don't have words to describe. So you could be living in a country like that, a developing country, and the corruption, the bribery, it's systemic, it's endemic, it's rampant, it's all around. So when I say we need to Americanize them, it's like, I have to. It's like, you got to have a shower twice a day, so to speak. A spiritual scrub down. Or else you become infected by those aspects of those cultures. Don't get me wrong, the food is tasty, the dress can be beautiful. You hear what I'm saying? The people can be lovely, they have great smiles. But when the foundation, the fruit is always a product of the root. So thank God for our Christian foundations in these United States. So, and sometimes there's manipulation and deceit in those countries. You know why? Usually because of financial constraints. So in some ways we can feel sorry, but it doesn't mean we are to accept. Teach them, train them, mentor them, then we can release them. Missionaries who we send out, or national leaders whom we adopt, need to show themselves accountable. I like this phrase, voluntarily accountable to local leaders. You send someone to Peru, I don't care if you're married. You make yourself accountable to some local Peruvian leaders. But if we don't watch out, if we have that paternalistic attitude and mindset, well, I'm American. No, I'm just a lump of clay that God breathed life into. Likewise, the national leaders, when they fall, whether it's usually it's you've heard of the three G's, the three pitfalls of ministries and ministers: gold, girls, and glory. I think the order would be girls, gold, and then glory. But if there's been moral breakdown or financial misappropriation, when we finally get to meet with that leader, you know what the number one thing they will say? Hear me now. I have nobody I could go to. That's a lie. You chose not to make yourself accountable to those of spiritual stature in your local area. Don't receive that when they say, I have no one. That basically means I chose not to make myself accountable to anybody. Make sure they have local leaders that are accountable. Voluntary accountability. If not, it's only a matter of time before disaster strikes and all our years, sometimes decades of investment and good work, just go up in smoke. I know two Bible colleges, two different, both developing countries. What was that? When the scandal was exposed. We don't want that to happen, do we? So we need a more cautious, careful, serious vetting. How do we communicate with in the missions world today? Most of us have heard about the word Zoom has become possible. So Zoom meetings or Facebook Live, which is happening right now, or here's something that the Holy Spirit did in my life, which I'm actually implementing right now, and it's very exciting to hear this. The Holy Spirit, I'll do this in part B here, the Holy Spirit led me to kick off a YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and go Andrew space N for no nonsense space Taylor, and you see a face that looks Middle Eastern and dangerous, that's me. That was a very polite way to put it, right? Andrew space N space Taylor. If you subscribe, you'll see our channel. And over this lockdown, there's over 215 suddenly, in our school, Christian school in the Fiji Islands, there's a discovery, not that it's not there. They say the average age a person is exposed to pornography in America is 9. It used to be 11. It's coming down. And the fault is the parents for putting a hand grenade in the air and paying for unlimited internet with no blocks. And I know they've got friends. Well, then we need to be careful. The friends they keep at school, we put them in. What environment is, or else they're swimming in a polluted stormwater drain. And we wonder why they are out at our Christian school. Just this last week, one parent directly emailed me. We're living in a digital world. They're Christians. Their heart broke. They said, we wept with our son when we found out about this. Some of the kids, boys at school. Immediately, I sent an email to my head teacher with a copy to my administrative come. Every Tuesday you meet with the staff. This Tuesday, everyone, all my staff and administrators will watch my YouTube upload titled The Demon of Pornography. I'm here, they're sitting there and watching The Demon of Pornography. Then, meet with each of the boys one-on-one. Find out who was responsible, where the couples, and they've done all of that. Guidance from long distance. Because, and it's so easy, so I've got like Brian, you would know this every year, the beginning of the year, and all teachers would know this, whether you go to a public school or private school or Christian school or parochial school, we have in-service days. So they watch, standards required for Christian school teachers. So using YouTube uploads, we talked about Zoom, Facebook Live, YouTube uploads, and now I'll quickly go on, we're talking about missions. All churches are in one of four places with missions. One is missions blind. They're like an ingrown toenail, still taking care of themselves. No thought for the world that is lost around. The second is mission dog. Just waking up, okay. There is a world out there. We need to get involved. The third is mission ablaze. These are those that are gung-ho. I've heard of a church where they've got little pictures of like 360 some countries in the world. So all those pictures, one of this large church, and a picture of the missionary that they helped to send in those countries. But then there's many countries they don't have a missionary, so they have a small mirror under it. I thought that was pretty cute. That little glass so you can see your own face. Well, are you going to go or not? Now, while that's good, that's mission ablaze, there's an even better way. So it's mission blind, mission dawn, mission ablaze, and mission focus. Allow me to touch on mission focus. Effective ways to do missions. You can talk to me. What's the number one most populated country in the world? Even the children should be able to give this. Have an idea? Take a guess. Don't worry. We won't say you're wrong. We'll just say it's incorrect. China. Now hear me. Communist China. Number two most populated country. Number two. Hindu India. Number three, you're going to be in for a surprise, some of you. Christian USA. It used to be USSR, but after it broke up into the several republics, USA population-wise is number three. Interesting, isn't it? Communist China, Hindu India. Well, you're probably saying not Christian, it's Christian-based. Yeah, true. Okay, because so many of our folk are veered off, at least half. Okay, communist China, Hindu India, Christian USA. Number four, big surprise. Islamic Indonesia. Indonesia has more Muslims than Iran, Iraq, and Egypt combined. They don't wear stuff, but they are Muslims nevertheless. So now, give the U.S. a pass because we're Christian-based. I mean, it doesn't mean we stop local missions. That's why we need it, especially to the inner cities. Now, you get my point. So now, we are left with, as far as international missions, Mission focused. You remember that? Blind, dawn, ablaze, focused. Because we have an operations base in Australia, hear me now, please don't take offense. In Australia, that's why I'm starting with them before I come to the US, they have huge missions outreach to Papua New Guinea because it's just north of the border and it's much more easily accessible. But remember this, Australians, the Lord is not going to return the moment the last Papua New Guinean comes to Christ. Likewise with the U.S. Any church you want to change, huge missions thrust into Mexico and Central America, especially Mexico. Lord, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but he's not coming back the moment the last Mexican is. So now let's look at those three fingers again. Communist China, Hindu India, Islamic Indonesia. So before we, or if we're sending one missionary to Mexico, we maybe need to send about 30 missionaries to China, 25 to India, and 15 to India. Hello. No amen to that. Okay. Still love you. Thank you for letting me. That's mission focused. And this gospel shall be preached to the ends of the earth. Missions focused. So that's from a missions perspective. I've got like 15 minutes to go. And before I take any questions, we'll go to us, you and me now in our personal lives, living in turbulent times. That is during COVID and, Lord willing, post-COVID. Why? Instead of letting the world get us down, hear me carefully with my adjective and descriptions. Instead of letting the world get us down, let's skip the Luciferian mainstream media and spend more time with the Lord. One of my YouTube uploads is called Brainwashed, Bewildered, Baffled, Befuddled, Believed. Because if you spend 5 minutes a day in your Bible and 3 hours watching the Luciferian mainstream media, you're totally brainwashed. Now you understand, we keep hearing, I can't believe they voted this way. I don't understand. Because their Bible is the MSM. Is their MSM, mainstream media. So instead of that, now you understand why even some Christians have gone into depression. Don't let the world get us down. Instead, skip the Luciferian mainstream media. Because the Bible is the voice of God. The MSM is the voice of Lucifer. If you don't believe me, I'll force you to answer some questions for me. Does the MSM support abortion or not? They support it. Do they support LGBTQ, LMNOPQ, XYZ? Yes, they do. I mean, they're only stopping at Q. Who knows where it's going to end? And on, I could go on. So that's the voice of Lucifer. And here's how the Holy Spirit led me during the lockdown time. Actually, I trust you'd be encouraged by this. It became one of the most wonderful times of my relationship with Jesus. And it's still continuing till now. So, we had a mini treadmill at home. I told you we were in India, so we should have been here this summer, but we just got extended. Mini treadmill at home. And here's what most of us do in the West. We may have a treadmill, and it's facing the Luciferian mainstream media. I know it's okay to watch it with your blind eyes. Kids, hear me on this. And Dad, Dad was my student. Man, so you're my grand students. Dad was my student. You're my grand student. Your daughter chuckled at that. I enjoy some wildlife. And some historical stuff. But with the wildlife, I try to mimic David Attenborough. Millions of years ago, if he said, from the time of creation, they would kick his program off. even from this brilliant man's mind, the footage is fantastic because it's God's untainted creation. But the words from his mouth are Luciferian. If he does not kowtow and say millions of years ago, he will be kicked off the ship. So even the wild, and I remember teaching our child, Luke, who's now 26, from the time he was knee-high to a grasshopper. I said, the moment you hear that sound, you know that's a lie. We need to put guards around our children. Okay. So, we had a little treadmill. It wasn't facing the idiot box. It was facing nowhere. Just the windows. And here's how the Holy Spirit led me. Because I like to play racquetball, squash, overseas. I couldn't. Gyms were closed. That's too close contact. So I thought, if I can't play that, I need to do something. So before my eating, because you're still stuck at home, all you can do is eat. So if you're going to eat three times a day, you can exercise three times a day. And then this is what I believe the Holy Spirit ministered to me. Son, if you can eat three times a day and exercise three times a day, you can pray three times a day. Living in turbulent times. And then he ministered something else to me as this went on for a month or so. You know, when we start to pray, it will happen. Not when we're desperate. It's so easy by default to slip into supplication mode. You know, Lord, you know, bless me, bless Anne, bless you, us three. You know, it used to be us four no more. And these are my friends, check out, so on, bless you. Hello. The Spirit of God. I can't even put this in words, and articulation is not my weakness. So gently wound me. Just in my heart, son, would you just spend the first of the three times in the morning only worshiping the praise of God? He didn't say, don't ask for anything. He's just too gracious. I cannot put it in words. Could you just spend that first time? And you wouldn't believe how difficult that was. Because by default, oh, there's a problem in the ministry here, or this one, and we need the funds for this, and this person is having cancer, and my family. It's so easy to ask. All we do is come to God with a begging bowl in our hands by default. And I can't explain how he put this in my heart. And now it's become much easier. The whole first session is only praise and worship of Father, Son, and Almighty. Nothing. And get this point. When your spirit comes into alignment, you can complete your assignment. Even though I was locked down, how God enabled us to get stuff accomplished around the world as I communicated with my various leaders. When your spirit comes into alignment, think about it. Oh, hold on. Just look at me for a second. In heaven, are you going to be asking God for anything? Are you going to be praying for healing in heaven? Are you going to be praying for resources in heaven? You'll just be praising and worshiping God the whole time from glory to glory. So we need to start practicing on earth, my friend. Worshipping him for who he is. Awesome, almighty God. That's what the Holy Spirit nudged me to start. First time, glory to God. Absolutely nothing. No matter how much you love your son or your daughter, just worship. Second and third session, son, you can ask for anything you want, pray for. I'm just sharing with you what the Holy Spirit was doing in my life through the lockdown. And you know, when I started the day worshiping and praising God, remember the YouTube ministry he expanded in? I never ever had that before. It wasn't there. And I'm not even the young, savvy internet generation. I can't say I stumbled upon it. I know now the Holy Spirit led me, and I can't even remember how. But apparently in 2011, when I started my Gmail account, because Gmail is associated with Google, and YouTube is a product of Google, somehow the Holy Spirit led me to it. And basically the impression was, start recording and uploading what you've been teaching. So I've only done 4 book studies out of 15, and 2 seminars out of 15. But so many topics. Now hear this. It hasn't stopped. Because of that morning praise and worship session, the only way I can express this, and please, I hope you don't misunderstand me or consider me to be immodest, is that I just started to have heavenly downloads. That's the next one. So before I forget, take out my phone. Audio record this thing. So 3 days ago, or was it 2 days? I can't remember. But we're staying right now in Lyrics. I got a heavenly download right there as I was praying. It was about man being compared to iron. That's not from any book or someone's YouTube. And you know what I found out? That the atomic number, and I did chemistry also, chemistry, botany, zoology, which I long forgotten, so many of those things. The atomic number of iron is 26, which is the same as the number of letters in the alphabet. Okay, that's kind of facetious. But, like, iron has so many properties. I'm not going to go into it now. But, like that stormwater drain, it gets pissed. Even corrodes. And then, one of the best ways to strengthen iron is to put the element beginning with C into carbon. It gets steel. The best way for us to make it alive is to put the element of C into carbon. And then, if you keep, this is just a 3-minute synopsis of this upload, which is not yet done. It's between the download and the recording. I'm sharing this with you. But to say that these heavenly downloads, where did this come from? And as I'm worshiping him, and son, from steel, you go to tempered steel. This is the mature believer, which is heated just below melting point and then cooled. Heated just below melting point and get cooled. And you know what tempered steel, the difference between tempered steel and regular steel? It's more flexible. It has some bend like in tall buildings. And it's less brittle. And then I thought I was done, and he gave me another one. No, there's also galvanized steel. It's coated with zinc. And rust can't touch it. Maybe that's heaven, I don't know. But where did that come from? They're just coming down. Heavenly download. This is a product of the lockdown. Hallelujah. And then, through the lockdown time, the Holy Spirit led it on my heart to pray for more people's children by name. That I had, and actually they're all from this county, this area. And I've got the names memorized as I go. This family, next family. And then, while I'm doing that for them, my son's 26, remember I said that? From the time he was around 21, he's in Brisbane, Australia, finishing his degree in counseling and psychology because he realizes his dad's starting to lose it for the age. From the time he was 21, we catch up only like once or maybe twice a year, short times. And I would say, son, you know, dad's now 6 months. What if something happened to me, you know, would you consider, you know, all the places, you know, the people, the project you did there from the time you were so small. And no dad. That's from 21, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm now praying in this lockdown time for other people's children. And I get a call from my son. From his dad. He says, Dad, I just want to share with you that I'm okay to come over the border. And he ended up with an amazing children. You'll understand. I said, Dad, I know you won't misunderstand this, but normally the parents give the children a present. But in this instance, I want you to know that I'm willing to come on the board. You have my blessing. In other words, you're not calling me kicking and screaming. Then, now that's just testimony. Here comes the heavenly the Holy Spirit says to me, "My God, you know something. You pray for other people. I have moved on your time. This is all locked down through the Lord." How do we live in turbulent times? It's an opportunity. God has blessed us with the gift of time to grow and mature in Him, so that when this thing, this virus, this is behind us, we will be a much more powerful force to expand the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. And needless to add, through digital media, all the means we have at our disposal, we can continue the YouTube I've talked about. Continue to praise this word for us, Jesus. Amen. Very quickly, if there's two or three questions, maybe three at the most, we'll try and give brief answers, and if none, we can close and pray.